Come to the 64th annual OA birthday party. Together, we get better. In person, January 12th through 14th at the LAX Hilton in Los Angeles, California. Meet fellows from across the globe for a weekend-long extravaganza of workshops, panels, special interest speakers, entertainment, fellowship, laughs, and recovery. Highlights include body image workshop, weekend-long big book study, sober eating workshop, keynote speakers with unique stories, dance party and comedy show, yoga and meditation, meetings and meetups for LGBTQIA, BIPOC, Spanish language, young people, and AAPI members, plus a boutique where you can shop till you drop. Registration is now open at oabirthday.com. Staying the night? Book your room now at a discounted rate through the oabirthday.com website, and act fast because rooms sell out quickly. There is a solution. You'll hear from speakers who have various versions of this disease who live happy, joyous, and free. Because together, we get better.
Welcome to the OA Serenity Sunday Meeting Podcast. Serenity Sunday is now hybrid, meeting in person at Roxbury Park in Beverly Hills and on Zoom. Visit the Los Angeles Intergroups webpage at oalaig.org for information on how to join our meeting live in either iteration. Now that we're meeting in person, Serenity Sunday has regular meeting expenses and would appreciate Seventh Tradition donations to help support the meeting and this podcast. You can donate via Venmo
at Serenity Sunday 2023
or through PayPal, Serenity Sunday 1212@gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the Serenity Sunday podcast are those of the individual speaker and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. And now, our speaker.
I'm Frances, compulsive overeater, and I'm really happy to be here.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Alex, if you're there, for asking me. I was grateful to be asked to do service, and here I am. You can bring the water in with me. I hope I don't have a frog in my throat. Anyway, I'm going to tell you what it was like, what happened, and what I'm like now. And actually, I'm just going to take a moment myself, if you don't mind. Just kind of overwhelming to have the hybrid. I'm not used to this, and so I need to ask my higher power to come in and help me. Help me to be just a channel for my higher power this morning. That feels better. Okay. So what I was like before the program, I could never have stood up in front of a group and said even my name. It was far too scary, far too scary. And it was much easier to run for the food and hide in the food than be seen by people. And this was what I used to do. I used to, my particular disease is compulsive overeating and somewhat restricting after I'd had my binges, big binges, and then hiding away so that with my binges, and then the utter remorse and why did I do that again? And then, of course, most of my binging was through the weekend because I was so lonely. I didn't know how to reach out to people and make friends. And then come Monday morning, get on that diet. This is the diet to end all diets. And I really, really believed it with my whole being when I made that promise to myself. I'm going to go on that diet and I'm going to stick with that diet. And of course, I couldn't. I could for a few days. But then I got off and back to the binging. And and I was living by myself at the time. Most of my compulsive overeating was in the UK because I'm from the UK. And I was living by myself and I had every opportunity to just be by myself with my food. And I worked at my biggest time of compulsive overeating was when I worked at a health food store, what a delight, because I was a health food fanatic anyway. I was just really obsessed with different foods and what they meant and all that. And so I took anything I wanted to, both during my time working there the day, it was on a Saturday, and took things home with me in the evening. They were always for somebody else, always for somebody else. And I staggered along with my two big bags on a London bus and went up to my room and began my foods. And I ate the whole lot, although they had actually, other people had asked me for the food, for me to get me some food. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't not eat it. I just had to eat it. Once I started, the obsession, the addiction clicked in, the allergy clicked in, and then the obsession. And although I would go on the diets, before I knew it, the obsession of the mind would say, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. Just doesn't matter. And not only does it matter, I couldn't do it because I craved the food so much. So there was something else that happened to me that I wanted to share about, and that is, even when I left the country and I went on a lovely vacation to Norway with three other people, I could not enjoy Norway. I could not enjoy that beauty. I had to say to them when they said, we're going off to see the fjords, I said, I won't be coming. What did I do? You can imagine what I did as a compulsive overeater. I went through the town of Bergen and I just ate my way through that town. And they came back with stories of the beauty, nature, and I was just stuffed. But then, of course, they brought the food out for the evening and I ate more, naturally, because I'm a compulsive overeater and I couldn't stop. And so I at anybody's food, I always had to finish the food off. If there was anything, I did occasionally have people actually come to my house to eat, and I prepared them the food, and then I pushed them out the door. You know, could hardly wait to get them out the door. And I remember Christmases with my family saying, "I'll do the dishes. Don't worry." And so,
that's 5 minutes.
Thank you. Taking the food into the kitchen and grabbing up the turkey while no one was coming in. And then if they did come in, you know, just hide myself away from them so they couldn't see. So, and of course, the emotional state that I was in was extreme fear and unhappiness, not being able to connect with people and not knowing how to get help, I didn't accept that I had a problem. I didn't ask for help. It was not in my nature to ask for help at all. I was just, that would have been too embarrassing, too shaming. I preferred to be in my disease than reach out and ask for help. And that went on for several years till I came back to the States and found other amazing, magnificent foods I'd never eaten before in my life. And but thinking that, okay, I'll make a fresh start, get to California, make a fresh start, and put all that behind me, all that misery, demoralization behind me. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. The food called to me immediately. And I still did the dieting thing. And actually, I was living in Illinois. I'm so confusing. I was living in Illinois at the time before I moved to California. And I remember one night having had a big binge and just sitting in a laundromat and just in a state of despair, not knowing what to do next. I just felt my life was over. And I had been introduced to someone who was in Overeaters Anonymous at a Thanksgiving, but I loved American Thanksgivings. We didn't have that in Britain, and it was just an excuse to eat everything and anything. I was told we were supposed to really eat up on this food and enjoy it and give thanks for it. Of course, I tucked into my usual seven helpings of everything. But I was introduced to this person and told that she was in Overeaters Anonymous. And that was a life-changing moment for me, because when I went to her house, and this person is still in my life today. She's still in OA. This is over 40 years ago. I had my usual, as I say, lots of helpings. But I saw her, and I saw that she had something. I certainly didn't know what it was, but I knew she had something I didn't have. And I, I, I can say now it's serenity and acceptance that she had around me, which I did not have. And so I didn't dare ask her, because again, I didn't speak up. I did not say anything to anybody. I was too embarrassed and ashamed to admit that I might need help. But I remembered it. Something in my brain went in, Overeaters Anonymous. So that was the December, the third Thanksgiving was in November. I did more binging through Christmas, the Christmas holidays, lots of it. And then more binging, January, February, got into March. And the same people who had introduced me to my friend said, you can stay in our house. We're going up to see her. Why don't you stay in our house and eat whatever you want? Because they didn't have a concept of what it was. They knew I had something around food, but they didn't know the depth of my compulsion that told to eat whatever I wanted would mean eat everything in the house, which I did. And that was a Sunday night. And that was my final binge to end all binges, because I was on the point of total annihilation, actually. That's the word that comes to me, annihilation. I was losing myself. Any shred of self-respect I had already gone. And I was willing to make that call. They tell us we have to do something, take some action. And the action I took was that Sunday night, I called Overeaters Anonymous in the middle of Illinois, middle of nowhere, and asked where the next meeting was. I was told it was a Thursday night. And I waited all week, and I got myself to that meeting. And I didn't know, it was just like a meeting here. I didn't know what it was all about, but I just knew these people are like me. That's all I could think of. These people are just like me. And I didn't know what people said, but I did say my name. Now somebody asked me to give my name. I gave my name, and then I was going to scuttle out the doors, but somebody approached me and asked.
5 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you, John. So I'm so grateful to that person, because without her, I mean, she represented the program, of course, and she gave me dignity of choice. And I chose a food plan, and I started to call my food into her, and I gave up sugar and was able to get myself slowly onto three meals a day, which I'd never done in my life before. And I called her, as I say, called her every day from public phone calls. Those of you who know my story know that this was very embarrassing to me, called up from public phone boxes with other people on either side of me to have to call my food in. But I had to save my life, and so I did it. And and that, as I say, began my journey of recovery. And then this person whose house I'd been to for Thanksgiving became my sponsor. I don't know how that happened, but anyway, she found out I was eating honey every day. And I don't mean just a little teaspoon. I was just knocking it back. And so she said, oh, you're not abstinent. So I gave up honey. And so for today, my food plan is 3 meals a day, nothing in between, no sugar, no honey. But there are lots of other foods I've given up. For example, I had a battle with chips in this program. I started out with, you know, I discovered Mexican food. I'd never had that before. And would eat all the chips. And then I thought, okay, I just eat 15 chips. So I committed to 15 chips. Okay, I'll commit to 12 chips. A few weeks. 10 chips. Finally, I got it. Okay, God, I'm giving up chips. So that's how my current way of eating has evolved. Food has become a problem for me. I've struggled with it. I've tussled with it. I've tried to overcome it. And then I finally have to give it up. So I'm down to just the simplicity of food these days. And I weigh and measure my food. And and I always have to watch. I always have to watch my food. I can never get complacent about my food, because I'm compulsive. I'm addicted. I have an allergy. And I have the obsession of the mind. And so the emotional and spiritual recovery, I didn't even know I had feelings, because I was so shut down and so devoid of anything inside myself. So I've had to gradually, my higher powers gradually introduce me to my feelings. And today I have my feelings and I can, they don't overwhelm me. They used to overwhelm me as they would come up. I was so scared of them. I thought they were just going to knock me out, that I'd just be consumed by my anger and just, I've never recovered from it. But, you know, the tool of writing has really helped me so much because I could write my anger out. And then just a quick word on resentments. You know, back in this cornfields of Illinois, I went to this one meeting. We had two meetings a week. One meeting, the subject was resentment. And I thought, this isn't for me. I'm not a resentful person. And I couldn't understand why they were talking about resentments. I was just so out of it, so out of it. I had to learn so much about being a human being and having human failings and human feelings. And today, I have resentments. They've lessened as I've done my work through the steps, but they're still there. So fast forward to today, I'm living in steps 11, sorry, 10, 11, and 12. And so as I do my 10 steps, I realize I do a fear or a resentment every day. And I realize I'm resenting a lot of things. You know, it's okay. And the other thing is that it's okay because it doesn't define me. I've got my resentments and my fears and my failings, all my different character defects. But it's okay. I am not a mistake. I used to think I'm so imperfect, such a terrible person for having these feelings of resentment and, God forbid, anger. And I have discovered that it makes me, as I said, I guess I keep coming back to this thing, it makes me human. And I didn't want to be a human. It was too scary to be a human. And in a way, I wanted to be float above being a human. And I wanted to be sort of superior up in the clouds. You know, I was meditating at that time. And I even to go back to when I was eating, I went to a retreat and a spiritual retreat with a guru, had a guru then, and I came out of that retreat and I went down the street, it was in Michigan, I remember, I don't know how I got myself to Michigan, anyway, and I ate everything, I ate, you know, candies, chocolate, everything I could get my hand on. And so that was me being spiritual in those days. But now, with the emotional, physical and the emotional recovery, I'm able to have a spiritual life in this program. And my higher powers got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I have to go to meetings a lot because I don't get the message otherwise. I have to hear people who've got strong recovery. I have to humble myself and do what I'm told by my sponsor. And I've been really helped by phone meetings that I listen to. I hear amazing recovery on these phone meetings. And it humbles me. It humbles me. Cuts me down to right size, and it made me realize that I didn't have a strong higher power at all. I thought I believed in God, but I wasn't connected to God. I didn't have a relationship with God, and that's what I've been developing recently. Sitting quietly in the mornings, just opening my heart to God, and letting God be with me. And I'm a person who's got the monkey mind, so some days everything is quiet, other days a lot of chatter going on, but I do it anyway. I do it anyway, whether I get the chatter or whether I get the stillness, I just do it. And on days when I miss my meditation, I don't feel so good. So I am a person who cannot miss more than a day of meditating. Otherwise, people in my life know it. Now, I want to get around to just what's happened in my life as a result of this program. I was married many years ago, and I did not know how to be a good wife. Now, I thought I was a great wife, but apparently now that I look upon it and do all my character defects, I see I was a terrible wife. I was not there for my husband. And anyway, so I was single for many years, had some relationships. But now I am married, and that's where I learn my greatest spiritual lessons. because I still want my own way. And I still come in the house and say, oh, this is what happened to me today. And I said, oh, wonder what happened to my husband. So I said, well, how was your day? So it's hard for me to get out of myself. So I still want to be in myself, and I'm learning to look at myself and see, there's somebody else in this house. And I need to be considerate. Now, he's not a compulsive overeater. He's a normie, and that's weird. But but he's very understanding of what I need to do. We have different foods. Where was that taking me? Yeah, I have a whole new family as a result of him coming into my life. And it's a little challenging because I'm used to doing my own thing. This is me, Francis. Francis, who does her own thing. But now my recovery has been leading me into being with people, being around people and helping them, letting myself be helped. This is another huge difficulty in my life. I want to be so independent. I don't want people to have to help me. I'm much more comfortable helping others. So I've had to learn to get in touch with that part of me that does need help. I mean, I need a sponsor's help for a start. And I'm very helped by my sponsees. I feel that they help me more than I help them.
1 minute left.
Oh, 1 minute left. Oh, well, okay. So I think what I want to say is that my life has changed so much. This program is my life. I put it at the center of my life. And because it's given me back my life. I thought I was just in myself, not able to be present with you, with anybody. And now I've got a loving higher power who just takes me along, carries me along, and introduces me to you. And we're all fellows together, and we help each other. And it's been an amazing journey. And it's a journey. I'm never going to get there. I'm always on the journey. And I'm so glad you're on the journey with me. Okay, and thank you so much for listening. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say. Thank you.